The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Australia and I think the rest of the world is still reeling from the country's worst mass shooting in almost three decades. A father and a son opened fire on a Jewish festival at Bondi Beach, killing 15 people, including a child. The alleged attackers fired into crowds at the beach for the start of Hanukkah on Sunday evening past. The father was killed at the scene, taking the number of dead to 16, while his 24-year-old son is in a critical condition in hospital, but police say he is expected to survive. Well, Ireland's chief rabbi, Yanni Wider, spoke to Newstalk Breakfast earlier this morning and said this about his belief is growing anti-Semitism globally.
Unfortunately, the writing in Australia was on the wall. I've heard several Australian Jews saying that they're not shocked by what happened. There's been a steady rise of anti-Semitic incidents reported across the country. And in Sydney itself, in the aftermath of October 7th, protesters were marching through the streets, chanting "globalize the intifada" and "gas the Jews." And from what was reported, no serious action was taken at the time. And when explicit calls for the murder of Jewish people are ignored, when there are no real consequences, it sends a dangerous message. And now Bondi Beach, we've seen a pogrom, a mass shooting and killing of Jewish people that should have been unimaginable.
Well, Ria Cherniak-Lebov is the granddaughter of a Holocaust escapee and she's living here in Ireland and she joins me now in studio. You're very welcome to the programme. Ria, as a member of the Jewish diaspora, this has got to be your worst nightmare to see something like this unfold. How difficult is it to digest that this has now actually happened?
I guess it was just I woke up on Sunday morning to a message on my phone and, yeah, you just get this absolute sickening feeling. But the same feeling, I know this is a lot bigger numbers and more victims, but I had the exact same sensation after the attack in Manchester on the synagogue. And I think I find it particularly chilling because those two attacks were people at their places of worship were celebrating their religious festivals explicitly. So it's just, it's absolutely horrifying. And I think there's been so much tension in the wider Jewish diaspora for a long time now. But I think ever since the horrors of October 7th, it has just steadily gotten worse. And obviously you would love to think that Ireland, that nothing like of the sort would ever happen. And obviously, like, it's a very, very different situation with gun violence and the accessibility to that kind of weaponry. But it's really alarming and people shouldn't blame, like, or be surprised if Jewish people feel very anxious.
And threatened at the moment. We'll come back to that in just a moment in terms of how the Irish community here in, or the Jewish community here rather in Ireland are feeling at the moment. But Netanyahu was very quick to blame the Australian government here and to specifically, I suppose, blame Albanese for this massacre. He said, you know, that they have very much watched this rising anti-Semitism within Australia. And in fact, they have been fueling it with their own, as he would call it, anti-Semitic agenda. What do you make of those comments?
Well, I guess I'm coming from a very particular point of view. I'm not a Zionist. I'm a member of Jews for Palestine Ireland. And I fully support the recognition of the state of Palestine, and I absolutely abhor the weaponization of anti-Semitism for a political agenda. And I would find that, I mean, I think that also is very upsetting because I wished that there was just time to offer our condolences and really just not politicize this. It's a tragedy. We're talking about a 10-year-old and an 87-year-old Holocaust survivor who were murdered. And for Netanyahu to sweep in and say this is somehow the fault of people who are trying to recognise the rights of Palestinians, it's just more propaganda, more Hasbara and emotional manipulation. And I think that's what's really, really complicated for people to understand about this situation is that this rise of anti-Semitism, I think it's twofold. The reason why I feel like it's complicated and it does merit explanation is because because of this conflation of the criticism of Israel with anti-Semitism, I feel like it's almost like the boy who cried wolf. People have gotten very complacent about it. And because it's been bandied around so much, oh, that's anti-Semitic because someone criticizes Israel, they've actually stopped recognizing that real anti-Semitism is rising. And you do get an awful lot of gaslighting if you express fear. And people are like, oh, well, I feel like Jewish people are now claiming all sorts of things are anti-Semitic. And I am an absolute advocate for Palestinian rights and an end to the genocide. And we've seen countless, I think it's over 500 breaches of the current ceasefire, which I'm loathe to even use that word. But that's not connected in my mind. Like, there's a huge right in the far right. There's a huge right in online radicalization. And there's a huge amount of animosity towards the Jewish communities, almost like collective punishment for what Israel are doing, even though the Jewish diaspora may have no connection to Israel at all.
But in terms of some of the warnings that we have seen coming before from members of the Jewish community, from people like Netanyahu, that if we continue with this condemnation of Israel, that you are going to see more and more attacks on the wider Jewish community. Do those warnings now take on a different tenor and a different tone given what's happened?
I think it just makes it more and more important to have rational conversation and to identify the way in which this is being weaponized. Because to be honest, like, it's about human rights. You have to be able to value human rights across the board, among Jewish communities, among Arab communities, among the Palestinians. Like, it's not an either or situation. And by calling out one, that does not mean that you're condoning violence or hatred towards another group. It's actually the opposite. It's like, nobody is safe until all of us are safe.
Tell me what it is like to be a Jewish person living in Ireland at the moment, Ria.
I feel like it's very complicated. I think, obviously, I find it very upsetting that because I'm Jewish, people might assume my politics lies a certain way. But it is, it's very unnerving. And I wish that, like, I have a 6-year-old daughter who I often bring to community events. I don't want to have to be worried about bringing my daughter to a Hanukkah party. And I think it's really made me realise how normalised certain types of fear are growing up Jewish. I mean, obviously, this is exponentially worse than anything that's gone on in the past, but it's not normal to need security guards outside your place of worship or to have bomb threats. And that's something that precedes this by years. And it's not normal. Like, a friend of mine did wake up about, what, when we were children, to a swastika having been sprayed on her house. And I think people need to acknowledge, we all love to think that there's, that we're not racist in Ireland, and we need to realise that. I think we need to talk about it in a really inclusive way. Like, I'm also involved in, like, the movement against racism in general, because there's a huge rise in anti-Islam or anti-Muslim rhetoric, anti-migration, and we just need to look at it holistically and say we need to create a society that we want to live in, and that has to become inclusive, and it has to be okay to fight for all human rights simultaneously.
I see you're wearing a Star of David there. Do you feel comfortable wearing that out and about in Ireland at the moment?
I do. I think when I say I do, I guess I felt more uncomfortable hiding it. And I feel like if somebody has a racist or prejudiced way of looking at me because I'm wearing a symbol of my faith, I can't control that. And I'm not willing to let politics kind of strip me of my identity. I'm not hiding anything. But it is a really terrible feeling that people feel vulnerable in public. And that's even a question is pretty awful.
It is Hanukkah.
Yeah.
And there are events planned in Ireland. Are you, and is the Jewish community here, are they fearful about gathering? And are they fearful about speaking publicly about gathering?
I'm sure they are. Yeah. And I think that is, you highlighted that, that I remember one of the things that I found more shocking after the attack in Manchester. I said, oh, it's so shocking. And someone in the Jewish community said, is it? I kind of just see that that's the way it's going. And that's what I find more shocking is the normalization of it, that we don't announce where our meetings are anymore. It's kind of like, but this is just, you know, for community members, not because we want to be exclusionary, but because, it would be a security issue. And even I saw in the news, people's complaints about the Jewish museum in Portobello being expanded, and some of the residents' concerns weren't like it's going to like block my view or whatever. It was they thought that having a Jewish museum with a more public facade would lead to protests and lead to it being a terrorist threat. And that's disgraceful, because the Irish Jewish community goes back here a long way, and there should be absolutely no reason that a museum wouldn't be somewhere safe to celebrate the Jewish contributions to Ireland.
I mean, the Gardaí have said that they will be more active, I suppose, in protecting and watching gatherings where the Jewish community is meeting in Ireland. Do you find that in any way reassuring?
I guess I do. I do find it reassuring to a certain degree, but I do think that there are lots of conversations that I don't see happening that I feel like we need in Ireland.
What are they?
I think that there's far too many kind of polemics and people claiming tensions between the Jewish community and the pro-Palestine movement and every other minority faith or ethnicity in Ireland. There are just certain conversations and people, for example, I think a lot of people are very afraid. Even we heard there from the chief rabbi, there's certain language that people find very... it causes an awful lot of anxiety and fear among the Jewish community. And I think that we just need to, I guess I'm quite careful with my language, and I am in the Palestinian Solidarity Movement, but there are things I'm not happy to chant. And there are things that I understand create anxiety and ostracization. And I think we
within just, your own community.
Yeah. I'm very careful about what I feel comfortable with. But fundamentally, I'm just a human rights activist. And I think that we need to all have those conversations really sensitively and respectfully to each other.
All right, Ria Cherniak-Leboff, thank you so much for coming in to us and speaking to us here on the A Hard Shoulder studio. Thank you so much for having this interview with your Jewish guest and to hear what she is saying, says one Hard Shoulder listener. Yes, Netanyahu is completely politicising this, and I think it should be called out by other people for what it is. I think Netanyahu has made it more dangerous for Jewish people right around the globe.
The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.